heavy like the rain.
On the phone right now with the Academy Award winner, singer-songwriter, Kevin Costner. Mr. Costner, how's it going today?
It's going good, Josh. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Are you ready for this Sunday, the 24th, at the world-famous Cotton Eye Joe?
Yeah, we're actually, I'm driving to out to Palm Springs today from where I live in Santa Barbara. We're going to play tonight. Then we're going to fly on Saturday and get ready for the show on Sunday. So, yeah, I feel good about coming out there. We've been out there once before, and it was great. And we're bringing some new songs. We're going to play some old songs that we had, but we're going to play six or seven new ones that no one's really heard. So, well, it was a great club, and so we're looking forward to it.
So you bring that up. You were here a few years back at the Cotton Eye Joe here in West Knoxville. What do you remember most about the Cotton Eye Joe?
I remember it felt like I could have this wrong, but I remember feeling like the stage was almost in the middle of the bar, which I know it wasn't, but I felt like I walked through a crowd to get to the stage, and I looked up and it felt like everybody was around. It just, I don't know, I could smell the beer, I could smell everything, and that felt just like, it was really a club. You know, and it was like, you felt like, well, let's just turn the sound up a little bit. Everybody's here to party.
Oh yeah, they rock it out there, and you're exactly right. The Cotton Eye Joe, the world famous Cotton Eye Joe, is an ACM nightclub of the year for a reason. It's because there is the beer, the liquor, you know, the good time being had. And you did walk through a crowd to get that stage, because that stage sets right at the end of a dance floor. So people that may not have their tickets yet or do have their tickets to come to the show, it's a great venue to see a band, especially a guy like you in Modern West. Because you're right there. I mean, you are close. There's not a bad place to be at the Cotton Eye Joe. So here's.
Well, we write these songs. We write these songs about the people who are kind of. I'm not sure what people think about who I am, but we're not too different. I mean, I've had some really good breaks in my life. I've taken some big bites out of the apple, but understand the apple. I've had life take some really big bites out of me too. But at the end of the day, when we're playing these songs, they get over the bar for me, or we don't play them, and it means they're relating in some way to my life. And I feel like that just transfers, whether it's somebody's 2 feet away or at the back of the room. If they want to listen to the words, that's what we focus on, is what our songs do, whether they're, you know, age appropriate for us, or they're falling in and out of love, or they're just kind of a look at the world. That's what we do.
Well, the songs are awesome. I know we're playing them here on the station. And you mentioned some of the new music from your most recent album, I'm sure Tales from Yellowstone. Read there in the press release that you co-wrote some of the songs with the perspective of John Dutton, one of the main characters in the show. So, yeah. I mean, we're really looking forward to hearing those shows or hearing those songs. I want to know, just is the song... Is the killer about Rip? Is that who that's about?
Well, my whole family kills. and often. I mean, I got a very dysfunctional family. It really could be literally about Casey or Rip. I think Casey's really haunted by the killings, for himself having come out of war. And then come back into a family where it's, you know, where it just doesn't seem to stop. So in a way, you know, it feels to me always more like Casey. Rip kills out of loyalty, out of knowing what's right and wrong. Right or wrong, he has a code, and that was the man who's protected him. And because I know Rip is willing to do that, I try not to point him in the wrong directions, but sometimes there's no stopping him. So The Killer is just a fabulous song.
Oh, it's great.
And so, yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. It's about my feelings. It's the characters. I'm like, obviously, Beth's song's about Beth. So we'll probably do a couple songs from there, and we'll do a couple maybe that drift out of Hatfield and McCoy's. And then the six or seven new songs, I don't know, the band suddenly got inspired and out popped them. And I looked at them and I said, well, why don't, instead of like putting one into the set, you know, and see how it goes, I said, who cares? Let's throw them all in. And what better place than someone like Cotton Eye Joe's to just let it hang out?
Yeah. So on the phone right now, Kevin Costner, going to be here with Modern West this Sunday, October 24th, as you mentioned, the Cotton Eye Joe. I do want to know, because I told a few people, you know, we're going to talk to you today and ask some questions. And the overwhelming question that people wanted to know, if you had to get into a fight, would you want to fight Rip, Casey, or a bear?
Well, listen, I don't fight the people I love. I fight with them. I don't fight against them. And the prudent thing is to people that you know will, quote unquote, kill for you, people that will take offense for you. Try not to do that. Try not to put your friends in that spot. That's how you can show people you love them. But our movie is just, that series Yellowstone is, man, highly charged. So I couldn't take that kind of drama in my own life, but I can play it.
I love it. Another song we've been playing, Won't Stop Loving You. Is it Evelyn or Linnell? I mean, who's the song about?
It's my wife. It's a, and what happens is it's like, you know, the interesting thing is, I co-wrote that with a couple guys. And so what happened is, that song started to turn, was a little bit about a drunk.
Mm.
And I started to think, well, shit, man, anybody can be drunk.
Right.
I said, I want to talk about my wife, not from a point of a guy who can't get his face out of a bottle. I want to talk that I can't get her face out of the land. Wherever I go, my wife informs me of our love. And because I don't have any scenes with her, I think the joy of that song and the success of it for me, just personally, is that I can see her, I can feel her, and I can play that even before I walk to the set and understand who she was to me. My feeling is my family wouldn't even be in the state that it is if she had been alive.
Yeah.
She could control our children.
I mean, we watched the show, my wife and I, we've watched every episode and I've started rewatching, just to remember everything that's going on, getting ready for season 4 that I know is coming out soon. So obviously we've seen the trailer, not a lot of info in it. Saw some activity there at the end and wondering if you make it, and I'm sure you do, but tell our listeners, what do we expect in season 4 from Yellowstone?
More of the same, man. It's pretty good.
I love it.
It's good. It's fun. And, I'm enjoying that people are happening, but I think if you listen to something like Heavy Like the Rain or, for that matter, Land I Call Home, it's all John Dutton, you know, Heavy Like the Rain. It's just,
that's a great song.
You get tired, you know, and if you, you know, just hearing what I said about, you know, Won't Stop Loving You, I think if you listen to it again, thinking about the series, you'll understand. You can literally see me walk from my trailer to the camera and I listen to that, and man, I'm right there again. It informs me.
So shift gears just for a second, talking with Kevin Costner, going to be with Modern West at the Cotton Eye Joe this Sunday night. Obviously, such a storied career that you've got, directing and acting. And did you always know that you had a passion for singing and playing music live? I know you grew up singing in church. I've read that somewhere. But when did you know that you wanted to hit the stage and sing and write songs?
Well, I knew, I was trained classically on the piano. When I went to Hollywood, there's no guarantee. I kind of finally woke up and listened to the idea. I mean, I came from a very conservative background. My dad was a fist fighter. He's out of Oklahoma, and my family lost everything in the Dust Bowl. And he was a no nonsense guy. And the idea was I could never even look at the my family and think, well, I'm going to be a storyteller. No, you're not. You're going to get a job and you're going to work so hard at it, nobody's ever going to take it from you. So I did that. I worked on fishing boats. I drove trucks. I framed houses. But deep inside me was this idea that I was a storyteller. Now, who am I going to tell in my family that? It's like, oh, the questions never stopped. In fact, we write a song about that. It's called 90 Miles an Hour. I'll probably play that Cotton Eye and kind of explains how I come to music. So it was just, I knew. And so when I went to Hollywood, there's no guarantee you're going to make it. So for 6 years, I didn't make a check, but I ran into people back into the music, and for felt like a minute, I started a band with John Coyman called Roving Boy. We actually wrote it. We had a couple of songs, and one of them we made quite a bit of money on, sold it for a beer commercial.
Nice.
And then a critic went after me in L.A. and was like, you know, that standard thing of actor, what are you doing with music? And I remember the movies were starting to happen. And I was jolted by how vicious it was. And I usually just don't back away from something. But I thought to myself, do I really need to put up with this shit?
You're right.
And I thought, and it was one of the few times in my life that I backed away. Okay, I stopped. And, you know, I had one marriage for 20 years and I was divorced, and about 6 years later, I met somebody and I'm married again. Now we're going on 20 years, her and I. And she found the music and she said, what is this? And I said, oh, that's just something I used to do. And she said, well, why don't you do it now? And I was I just took every way to not talk about what the truth was, you know, like a kid who won't take out the garbage or doesn't want to eat his vegetables. I just wouldn't. And after about 2 years, she said, let me ask you something. She said, when you were playing music, were you happy? And I said, yeah.
Nice.
And she said, well, do you think the people that were listening to you in front of you were happy? And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she said, Kevin, what could be wrong with that? And honest to God, she kind of released me.
Yeah.
It kind of like in such a simple way. And so I called two of the guys that were in Roving Boy. They drove out. I said, you guys want to do this again? We're going to do original music wherever I'm playing movies. We had no plan. And
I
basically 16 years, and we're going to do it. And basically 16 years later, we played at the Kremlin. We played in South America.
Yeah.
I can play really wherever I want.
Yeah.
We're asked to play 200 nights a year, but I just simply can't because of my other schedule.
Completely understandable.
The band has grown, and we have played and continue to play. We've cut over 100 songs, and we're bringing them to Cotton Eye Joe because when I do get a chance to get out, I want to be really present with the audience. So that's what's going to happen Sunday. So if you hate this interview, don't come.
You've got a great crowd coming. I'm good friends.
But if you don't, I'm going to miss you. And I think you're going to miss it because we're going to play loud. We're going to be happy.
I love it. Finishing up here with Kevin Costner, going to be with Modern West at the Cotton Eye Joe this Sunday night. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you. I'll be there. I'll have a whole group of people with us, and we're going to enjoy the show, and we're really looking forward to it. Kevin, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and any last words you want to say before we let you go?
Well, two things. One, after the show, make sure you come up, Josh. I'd like to say hi. Thank you for the time.
Sure.
And yeah, I play for people. I hope it's full. I hope you come. I hope you get your full, because my whole intention is to have fun and to play straight ahead.